we are going to talk about laments, which are also called prayers for help. There are two types of laments or prayers for help in these Psalms. We have individual and corporate or communal. And so what's interesting is that the lament is the most common form of psalm that you will find. There are 42 psalms of lament. 30 of them are individual psalms, about 30, and then the other 12-ish are communal. So what we'll do is we'll start looking at the elements of what makes up these psalms of lament. So first, what we have is that these psalms are composed in first person as direct address to God. So frequently they're going to open with Lord, or Lord help me, or Lord hear me. One of the most basic components is the petition. So typically the psalmist, the person writing the psalm, is asking to be heard and or helped. There's usually a description of the trouble that the petitioner has. Typically, this is described in relation to God or to others or to themselves. So they're going to describe what is going on, what's wrong, and what they're looking for from God. The petitions are often supported by reasons why they should be heard. So they're going to be appealing to the character of God or to the individual's relation to God, and they're going to also refer to the implications of what this problem is. What does it mean to them, for them, in the wider sense? And they often include statements of confidence in God or confessions of trust. So things like, I know, God, that you are great and good, and you've done all of these things in the past, and so I know and I trust and I believe that you're going to do them for me too. And then they may end with promises of sacrifice or praise. It's those typical things that we find ourselves when we pray to God, you know, those bargaining pieces where we say, oh God, if only you will help me, then I promise I will never eat chocolate again. So we see all of these elements in these individual laments. Now, note here that there is no standard order of these elements. So you can't look at this list and find a psalm of lament and say, okay, here's how it starts, and then it next goes into this petition, and then next is going to include the trouble, and we're going to hear about the troubles, and then next is this. Not all of Psalms of Lament are going to include all of these elements. Some may, but not all will. Most won't. But you will likely see pieces of them throughout in different orders. So that means that these 42 Psalms of Lament are not all going to look and sound the same. Each element that the psalmist focuses on is going to change the tone of that particular psalm and enhance it and connect it to that individual or to you in different ways. Okay, so now let's look at the elements of a communal lament. Note here, these are the same elements as individual laments with two exceptions. Okay, so first, it's composed, and this is probably the obvious one, composed primarily as the voice of the community. So you're not going to see I so much here as we. And they're going to have the troubles that they're describing are going to speak of God's absence or wrath, the community's humiliation or suffering. That's what the majority of these communal laments are going to be about. They're also going to feature recollections of God's past workings. The communities that are writing these psalms, or the communities for which these psalms are being written, are going to be rehearsing what God has done in the history of that community, even the creation of the world. So ways of making the suffering of that community an issue of God's sovereignty in the world. remembering what God has done, reminding him of what he's done in some of these cases, and then bringing it back to what they need him to continue to do. So, the common thread in all of this is suffering. Whether it's individual or a communal psalm of lament, suffering is present. So, theologian and author James May says that the prayers for help are a theological interpretation of suffering. They place the troubles of life in context of meaning. They provide a way to move affliction out of the realm of merely accidental or fortuitous meaninglessness into the comprehension of a view of self and world and God. There are a lot of scholars, you know, one of the great questions is who wrote these Psalms? Who wrote these books? Who wrote the Bible? Who did all of this? And so Psalms are not exempt from this conversation. I know in one of our evening discussions, someone had mentioned that David wrote a lot of these Psalms, and that is believed to be true. Yes, that David is the author, or at least Davidic kingdoms are the authors or intended recipients of these psalms. But many scholars push back against this. There really is a lot of scholarly debate about who wrote these psalms and why and when. All of those things are widely discussed and remain somewhat controversial in the scholarly world. Yes, we scholars are so exciting. We have arguments over who wrote a psalm. But let's take a look at what we do know about these individuals who wrote the psalms. First, there's an identification with righteous, faithful, lowly, poor, or needy people. So the individuals writing will claim their righteousness or their faithfulness, or they will hold to their lowly stature. There's humility present in these psalms. They're most likely to address God, address themselves to God as your servant. They count themselves among those who take refuge in God, those who seek him and love him. And we see the troubles, and this is most unhelpful for scholars because it's so broad. Troubles narrow down to three categories, which sounds like you're getting kind of narrow here, but really not, because we see sickness, and this is the whole range of physical to psychological abnormalities, accusations. So this is from formal proceedings of a community to a betrayal of neighbors or family. You know, my friend has betrayed me, or my brother or sister, and my neighbors are scorning me. We also see some armed conflict issues, and this ranges from local fights to national warfare. This is all of those, all of these troubles, which kind of sounds like everything. Like, what's left to write about? So, the troubles exist here don't point to a specific person or place or time, with the exception of some of those communal psalms where we can identify, okay, this was most likely referring to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. So here's the thing though. If you think about those aspects of these authors, how many of you can say the same things about yourself? So how many of you have dealt with sickness or have been accused of something or accused someone else? How many of you have lived through war? Have you considered yourself to be a servant of God and claimed that stature? Have you expressed humility? Have you ever taken refuge or sought after God? I'm imagining that all of you can say yes to at least one of those questions. And so the point here is that these psalms can easily have been written by you, particularly those individual psalms, could be written by you. And with Bob's invitation for you all to write your own psalms, maybe some of you have chosen to write psalms of lament yourselves. So it's that same vagueness in authorship that frustrates so many scholars and has us up in arms that is celebrated by that wider population, because many, many throughout the ages say that they have found themselves and their feelings and their circumstances in these prayers. Perhaps, though, more than finding ourselves in these prayers, we find ourselves through them. We come to know who we are and what we need and how to say it to God. And so when we read these psalms, we don't necessarily say, oh yes, I'm in there, but we read through that and we begin to know who we are, to understand our own suffering a little bit better, to be able to voice it in ways that we never would have thought of before. It's like, you know, if you're trying to express an opinion or a thought about something and someone beats you to it and says it first, and you say, oh man, oh well, I couldn't have said it any better. You know, someone else puts a voice to what exactly you were thinking or feeling. And that's what these psalms can do for us. Those corporate and communal laments too have these immense theological importance. They are hugely important statements about God's relationship with Israel and with the world. And so they become the voice of a community that knows that its last and final hope is within the sovereignty of their God. And so even if the details of those corporate prayers and laments don't fully match our own, that relationship does. And so when we go through these psalms, we don't just read them, but we pray them. And we find a depth of ourself and community and God within them.